slide with a doxology. Join with me on this first slide. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. May the Lord Jesus, who came in glory long ago, empower us now to be people of hope, peace, joy, and love. And as we eagerly await his second advent, to him whose love is from everlasting to everlasting, whose compassion never fails, and whose forgiveness has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, be all glory, praise, and power forever and ever. And together we say, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may blow out your candle. Thank you. We'll let that smoke settle just for a moment. So as Stephen was saying, Jesus, in fact, was born at night. Into a sinful and troubled world he came, and he brought his light. Love had come into the world in a manger in Bethlehem. And after they had given him the name Emmanuel, God with us, Joseph and Mary were visited by shepherds. And then sometime after the birth night, Gentile magi visited as well, bringing gifts of honor and love. And you might remember that they were brought to the King of Kings by the light of a star. They found their way to Jesus. These wise men celebrated the King of Kings with royal gifts, and what they did not know is that it would be his unfailing and redeeming love that would be the gift of all gifts that would save their souls and ours. The Apostle John has much to tell us about the depths of Jesus' love for all. First, in his gospel account, John gives us great insight into an intimate evening between he and his apostles. In John chapters 13 through 17, we read and we find several teachings and examples of unselfish and sacrificial love. Just moments after Jesus had washed his disciples' dirty feet, and after predicting his own death and resurrection, and in the midst of predicting Peter's, one of his closest friends, predicting Peter's denials, Jesus commanded these words, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And so as we expectantly await our loving Lord in his second return, he has called us to be imitators of his love to each other and to a watching world. We have this great responsibility, but also a wonderful privilege to be expressions of the love of Jesus to the world who so desperately need him. Our series concludes today with a call to this kind of love for all people. We're all drawn to this word love, aren't we? Some for positive reasons, others not so positive. Many of us have these warm, fuzzy notions based on personal experience. We think of puppies or Mr. or Mrs. Right or weddings or babies, grandkids, chocolate or favorite vacation spots. And we think of, man, I love that place. And we have these notions of love that are comfortable and familiar to us. And then others of us, we struggle with the idea of love. We have a warped understanding of love because it stems from a place of abuse or neglect or even betrayal. And so love is anything but warm and fuzzy. And maybe, just maybe, that's why you and I struggle at times to receive the love of the Father. And if that's you this morning, I just want to pause for a moment and just speak a real clear word. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit love you. They love you in the most pure, unconditional way. They love you. Their love is only to restore, empower, and to transform you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's their sole purpose. And their only agenda is to just love you unconditionally and from a very pure place. And so I pray today, if anything else, if you struggle to receive the love of the Father, that you would at least leave reconsidering, accepting, receiving the love of the Father. No matter our experience of love, I believe we all struggle with the thought of love all, our theme today. It's not so bad, well, most of the time, to love those who love us back, who are lovable, especially those who are closest to us, those who reciprocate our love. It's fairly comfortable and easy to love those. But to authentically love all, especially those who are hard to love, well, that's uncomfortable. But I would argue that the discomfort should start before the word all. The discomfort should start with the word love, because if we truly understand the essence of love through the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we'll understand something very profound, and that's this. Authentic love for all is a costly endeavor. Love is a costly endeavor. And so how do we accomplish such a great task as being imitators of God's love for all of humanity? Well, again, the Apostle John has some edifying words for us in his first letter. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. I would encourage you to join me there. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. He says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." Did you catch the word in the middle of that passage of scripture that defines God's love for us? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. God's brand of love is an unrelenting, sacrificial kind of love that was modeled for us by Jesus. And it's his love that calls us to follow him by loving one another so that his love is brought to full expression in us. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is noticeably working at his best when believers of Jesus Christ submit to this command of loving one another as Jesus has loved us. And so could I just challenge you with something this morning? The next time that God asks you to do something that is completely inexplicable, something that you believe is just far out of your pay grade, that requires much more courage than you could ever muster up, say yes. Say yes. Do something to undermine your own security and follow God into the realm of the unknown, because you just never know how God will use you to change the world in his name and to change your life along the way to become more and more like Jesus Christ when we say yes. Shane Claiborne, author of Irresistible Revolution and Jesus for President, shares a story about his college days several years ago when he read a headline from the Philadelphia newspaper that communicated some homeless families were being evicted from an old abandoned cathedral. This cathedral didn't have electricity or water, but it was a roof over their heads, and for the children especially, It was home. But they were being ordered out by authorities, ordered out to vacate or be arrested. And so Shane and some of his college friends, they were having a Bible study one evening, and this headline came up, and they were talking about an authentic love for God and for neighbor, and they were wrestling, what does it mean then to love these neighbors? And it wasn't too long until they found themselves in a car driving to downtown Philadelphia. They quickly became friends with these families, and they held an interest meeting a few days later at college to recruit other students who may have compassion on their new friends. And dozens of students showed up, and they all decided to stand with these families. Well, soon the media found out about this story, and they jumped all over it, of course. And when the eviction day came, the authorities showed up, but there were so many people standing in support of these families that for whatever reason, they decided not to take action that day. However, the fight was not over because the fire marshal had been called because there were lots of code violations, and so that appointment was made. And a few days before that inspection came, two firefighters from the city of Philadelphia showed up with boxes and boxes of fire alarms and smoke detectors and exit signs and fire extinguishers. And so when the fire marshal showed up, he did his inspection, and there were no citations, no reasons for eviction. Over the next few months, as Claiborne portrays the story, the families held a news conference and everyone received housing support. And many of those families today have homes of their own, jobs of their own, to support their loved ones. All because a couple of college students decided to say yes. Yes to the prompting and leading of God in their lives. They decided to take seriously the Jesus Creed, to love God with our all and to love our neighbor as ourself. You know, I'm grateful to say this morning with confidence that I see this kind of love in this church family. The nearly 4 years that I've been with you, I continue to be blessed and encouraged by your expressions of God's love. I mean, just last week, the staff was completely overwhelmed by your love for us, your appreciation toward us. So this seems inadequate, but we just want you to know thank you. Thank you for all the wonderful words of encouragement, the generous gifts that you bestowed upon us. It was a joyous, joyous occasion. So thank you very much. And as Jesus promised, I believe it's that kind of love that speaks loudly to our family and to our community and to the world. Expressions of love, they vary in shapes and forms. They could be as extravagant and in our minds as wild as building relationships with a homeless population and standing with them and supporting them. Or in our minds, it could be as simple as a hug or a card that says, thank you. You are appreciated. Another recent expression of that kind of love in this family is our commitment to spend less on ourselves so that we can give more to others in need. And as of today, we have raised together $8,950 toward the bowls in the Christ Haven Children's Homes for our Advent Conspiracy Projects. Amen. Yeah. That's so, so generous, and I'm just so grateful for the ways in which you've given this holiday season. And if you haven't had an opportunity to give, you can still do that this morning. There's information about that on the front page of Alta Mesa Life there. And so as we've been reminded today, Christmas time is about the hope and the peace and the joy and love that Jesus Christ has ushered into this world and into our lives. However, in the midst of those beautiful truths, as Stephen portrayed so eloquently just moments ago, we find ourselves longing for the second coming of Jesus, surrounded by painful realities. And this is where the people of God stand in the gap. In the midst of longing for the second coming of Jesus, we're here. We're in between the comings of Christ, the first and the second, and the people of God are the expressions of his love to one another and to the world. Do you see it? This is the command of Jesus from John 13, coming to life, putting on flesh as he did. The church puts on flesh and walks among the world when we love and when we love well. We surround one another with great love, and we hold one another up with words and actions of encouragement. We are the people of God. And so right now, what I want to do is I want to give us an opportunity to be a tangible expression of God's love to one another. Now is the time to respond to the Lord. And so we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. The band's going to lead us in that song, and there's going to be shepherds back in the back, if you need someone to pray with you. But you may know this morning someone who needs prayer, and if you're able and you want to go to them and pray with them during this song, we want to encourage you to do that. If you've decided that today is the day that you want to give your life to Jesus in baptism, I'm going to be right down here. You come and see me during this song. I'd love to witness your baptism today. But there's also cards in the pews. You may have noticed those on the way in. If you're by those cards, if you'll just be sure and pass those out on your pew to make sure everybody has one. During this song as well, someone in this church family needs an encouraging word this morning, and you probably know who that person is. Someone's been put on your heart. It could be because of their service. It could be because of a situation they're in or the hurt that they're feeling. You know. Someone needs a card this morning. We want to encourage you during the song to just go ahead and start writing that out. And then if you're able, just go ahead and take it over to him. Go ahead and take it over to him during this song and say, you are blessed. You are appreciated and we love you. So now is the time to respond to the Lord. Take a moment. Write some words of encouragement. Say a prayer for someone. If you need prayer, you can go to the back. I'll be right down here if you need to visit with me. Now's the time to respond to the Lord.